Remember in that email exchange between a Trump associate and Donald Trump Jr., the associate said there would be two Russians in an upcoming meeting. He'd send the names. Well, we know one was said to be a Russian government lawyer. And today we're learning the second person was a former Soviet intelligence officer who now lobbies for Russian interests in the U.S. And Yahoo News is also reporting that the president's legal team knew more than 3 weeks ago about that email chain setting up the meeting, which is raising the old question, what did the president know? And when did he know it?
And is anyone talking about the Senate health care bill, one vote away from defeat? It's time now for our Friday Politics Roundtable. And joining us, Rick Klein, political director at ABC News. Hi there, Rick.
Good to be with you.
It's great to have you. And Jose Diaz-Balart, news anchor at Telemundo and NBC. Hi there, Jose.
What a pleasure to see you. Thanks.
Well, Rick, let's just start out with some tape from the president. Here he was in France yesterday, and he was asked, of course, about the meetings his son took. Here's what the president said.
It lasted for a very short period, and nothing came of the meeting. And I think it's a meeting that most people in politics probably would have taken.
Rick, how does that statement sound today when we know that there was a second person now in that meeting who was a former Soviet intelligence officer and a lobbyist for Russian interests in the U.S.?
This is a family-first defense that no longer squares with the fact. And I'll tell you, it is roiling the White House internally because of the factions there. There are aides and staffers who just can't understand how Donald Trump Jr. could have done this, and they can't understand the defense because you're right. Even President Trump's own selection for the FBI said, to delete the FBI, this is not an appropriate meeting to take, that you should contact the authorities if you get a request like this. And we know that, according to the email, that Donald Trump Jr. thought this meeting was with a Russian government contact. It's as clear as black and white. And the president is straining credulity with his spin on this right now. And that's the problem, is that the stories had to shift, and even the shifts don't stand up.
Yeah, conservative columnist Charles Krauthammer, he has been a known critic of President Trump, but he writes in the Washington Post today, this is not hearsay, not fake news, not unsourced leaks. This is an email chain released by Donald Trump Jr. himself. The Trump defense, collusion as a desperate Democratic fiction designed to explain away a lost election, is now officially dead. Jose, though, is it? Jose?
Yes.
Oh, yes, there. Is it? I mean, it may be dead for, you know, most critics of President Trump, but is it officially dead?
Yeah, look, I don't think so. And by the way, anybody who deals with the Russian government and high government officials, representatives, friends of the government, you should not be surprised that there were former KGB or, intelligence officials. That is the group that the president of Russia hangs out with because he happens to be one. The fact that the Soviet Union is now Russia doesn't take away from the fact that Russia is run in many cases by former Soviet Union apartheid, operatives. So anyone who meets with someone who says the Russian government is interested in supporting you must know, whether they are new to politics or not, that that's probably going to be former Soviet Union intelligence-related officials, because that's what Yeltsin is.
Well, I just don't understand why, if these emails had gotten out and we know they had, why people aren't being more forthcoming in the White House, why they are letting this trickle out. There are more questions about Trump advisor and son-in-law Jared Kushner, because remember, it was his lawyers who found the email in June. He was copied on it. He was invited to the meeting. He went. And those lawyers then revised his security clearance. And he was then questioned by the FBI, we're reading. Given that, why isn't Jared Kushner saying to the rest of the White House, hey, we found this email, you know, this was in June. Why would Trump Jr. a week later still be claiming it was just a meeting about adoption?
And I wonder what Rick's thoughts are, because, I mean, yes, they're neophytes. Yes, they haven't been involved in politics. Yes, their concerns in the past were, getting buildings and building structures and putting on successful Miss Universes and even The Apprentice. But even given that reality, it seems as though there are only so many things you can do and blame them on, I'm not politically savvy.
Rick. Rick, what do you think about that? That we now know Kushner and his lawyers found this email in June. You think there would be an immediate meeting convened to say this is going to get to Donald Trump Jr.?
I think there are two other points of context, and Jose is exactly right about them being neophytes. But beyond that, the directive from the boss. He has said it on the record. He tweets it all the time. This is a witch hunt. There is nothing there. And that's the mentality, a bunker mentality sets in, where you have to minimize everything because it's all about some kind of broader point, a Democratic conspiracy. And secondly, I think there is a tendency in this story for them to try to put the best spin possible because of the kind of outlandish things that the president himself has said, that there were no contacts with the Russians. We now know that to be an utter falsehood, that there's no collusion. We now know at the very least that President Trump's son was willing to collude with a Russian government official, someone he thought was a government official. So as things happen, they continue to shade differences to avoid pulling off the Band-Aid.
And you know, something that strikes me as is ironic is that if you are an American government official, a representative, a senator, the odds are you probably have met with representatives of the Russian government or, you know, allies of the Russian government, because they're all over the place in Washington, D.C. But what makes it even more unusual is that this person is saying, well, I was a neophyte. I don't deal in the world of politics. Yesterday in Paris, the president said, I've only been in politics for 2 years. And yet, in these 2 years, there have been more meetings with the Soviet or former Soviet and Russian intelligence officials, former intelligence officials, or friends or allies of those intelligence officials by these neophytes than maybe many opportunities by members of Congress or senators.
Well, there's still a vigorous defense of the Trump administration coming from, advisors of the president himself. Trump communications advisor Michael Caputo will testify today behind closed doors at the House Intelligence Committee. He lived in Moscow, did PR work for Russian media, was an advisor to former Russian President Boris Yeltsin. But he was on WBEN radio just yesterday mocking the critics of President Trump.
To all you resistance aficionados, if you want to go ahead and try to prosecute the son of the President of the United States on a misdemeanor campaign finance violation, I dare you.
Rick, respond to that, because I actually think he raises a good question. I mean, how likely is any sort of action? There's still this legal question out there.
There's a legal question. We also have the president having declared him innocent. Of course, he has oversight in some way over the special counsel. That's going to be up for the special counsel. And I think there's legality questions about even soliciting that information. But that air of political defiance, I've heard it from many Republicans. If this is the best that they've got, go for it. If all you're going to do as a Democrat, as a resistance member, is to fight Donald Trump over what he did or didn't do in the last election, bring it on. And I think that's a dangerous mentality, because these are very serious things that Bob Mueller is digging into. It's also what kind of leads to the talk of impeachment, which is the pace of that has quickened, along with talk of things like treason this week. I think that's getting ahead of where it is. But I also think there's a danger in this White House and in Republicans in saying nothing to see here, when clearly something has been seen that is worth exploring.
Well, I want to mention one last thing from this week. McClatchy News reporting that House and Senate Intelligence Committee investigators are looking into whether the Trump campaign digital team, which was overseen by Jared Kushner, helped guide the Russian voter targeting and fake news attacks against Hillary Clinton. Remember the claim of a child pornography ring in a pizza parlor? That was Russians. And it was picked up right by right-wing media. So they're looking into whether or not the Trump campaign helped guide and fake news. So yeah, there's a lot more shoes to drop. But with a couple minutes left, we have to talk about France and the fact that President Trump was there for the last couple of days. How do you think that trip went, Jose?
Look, I think it was interesting to watch him in the press conference yesterday, along with President Macron, when they asked him point blank, well, this is a city that you said is no longer safe and that the government can no longer protect the French citizens. What do you say now that you're here in Paris and by the president? And President Trump was, I think, very ably say, well, because now you have a new president, I think all things are going to work out well. But you know what? I think that what you say matters, and he's had some very harsh words against France, the French government, and even Paris. I think that his trip ended up being probably a little better than many expected it to be.
You know, I have to say, if both of you gentlemen were here in the studio with us, I'd be reaching across the table to shake your hands.
It's all shaking
strongly, and I would not let go. I would not let go. I mean,
I'd pat you on the back, too.
A little light note there. But, Rick, I mean, the president's relationship, for example, with Angela Merkel, frosty, to say the least. Yeah. I mean, how do you think Macron, the French president, handled this? And is he sort of providing an example in terms of Europe dealing with the United States?
States.
Oh, I felt like I was watching mini Trump suddenly, and really surprising because, of course, he was President Obama's choice in the election, and President Trump seemed to endorse his rival. But this was a man, even down to the thumbs up signs and the handshakes and the body language, that seemed to be moving closer to the Trumpian view. And it seemed to me like he was positioning himself to be Donald Trump's best friend in Western Europe.
Well, they're calling him the Trump whisperer in Europe, and he could be the man who gets Donald Trump to rethink the climate change agreement and maybe even rethink Russia. Because remember, Macron was hacked too. His election was hacked by the Russians, and he was the one who stood next to Putin and slammed him for it. So perhaps there could be some shift in attitude. Perhaps that is what Macron is doing. I love that, the Trump whisperer. We've been talking to Rick Klein, political director at ABC News, Jose Diaz-Balart, news anchor at Telemundo and NBC. How the time flies. So we'll take it up again next week. Thanks to you both.
Thank you so much.